from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. It has been a soap opera.
Dom.
So here we go with more.
I got one more Dom quiz question.
Hold
here.
Hold on.
You got more?
Let's hear it again.
Than just that?
Like sands through the hourglass, so were the Aiyuks of our lives.
I like that you didn't even try to come up with something clever. You just took days and said, how about Aiyuks instead? I think this is the part that makes it, though, the actual Days of Our Lives music. All right, Dom.
I almost had him go with the Young and the Aiyuks.
The Bold and the Aiyuks?
General Aiyuks.
Dom. Stephen A. Smith, yes, that's Stephen A. Smith, has been a regular on what soap opera for several years? He is a recurring character on what soap opera?
General Hospital.
All right. Unbelievable that you know that, but you don't know the effing Holy Roller.
What's his role on the show? Does he just play himself?
He's
just Stephen A. Smith? He's entered the
well, stratosphere? No, I don't think so. I think he has like a real character. My point is, though, that you can't unsee that it's Stephen A. Smith just acting on a daytime soap
opera. Does he have a love
opera.
Interest on there?
No,
I
think he's very businesslike on there. I don't know if he's even a good guy or a bad guy.
His character's name is Brick.
Get out of here.
And what's his backstory? What is he up to on there?
I don't know. I don't think he's a doctor. I don't know. Every time I see him, though, it's hilarious.
He's in the hospital, but he's not a doctor. He's constantly getting sick.
Hold on. He's been on the show almost 10 years, dude.
But as what?
Here it is. Security consultant, surveillance, and techs expert for the Corinthos mob family. He is a former spy and a veteran on the show. So he sounds like a security fixer.
Is he a bad guy?
It sounds like if he's working for a mob family.
Could you imagine like the people out there who are not into sports but are only into soaps who think of Stephen A. Smith? And only know him as Brick.
Can you imagine those
on General Hospital?
So, like most people's grandmas would watch these things, right? Can you imagine your grandma who watches General Hospital? Ooh, there's that dastardly Brick, and she's flipping through the channels
the
and happens to turn
something.
On happens to turn on ESPN, and she sees there's Brick screaming at the camera about Jackson Chirio or something like that. What a mind bleep that must be for grandma. He's like, quite frankly, I think LeBron James, you know, he's just doing a big rant. That's the way funnier thing than like a sports fan running into Stephen A. by accident on General Hospital.
Because he's very like low key, I believe, on the show.
Yeah, on the show he does. I mean, if you know who he is going
he's
in.
He's not a bombastic person, so he doesn't play him. So he's actually acting.
He's actually acting. But my point with that was to say, if you know who he is going in, it is like impossible to not see. This is
he's
Stephen
just calmly
A.
saying,
yes.
I can't believe you had the audacity and the unmitigated gall.
Sir, we have to check the tapes. I believe Billy was here with Genevieve at General Hospital.
Can you play the stupid sound? Can you play that thing one more time? It's not stupid. It's great. I want to hear it one more time.
Through the hourglass, so are the Iukes of our lives.
Does Steve, our production ace, hate your guts yet?
Maybe.
For this?
But it's fun.
I mean, he's doing a very good job with them. I like the way they all sound. What is happening with this? I feel like I'm
so let's go through everything that we have in front of us today on this topic. We have Adam Schefter on McAfee. And by the way, before we get to Schefter, rave reviews for the Mark Cabali exclusive. And just not going to share all the details of what Mark has been texting me. But I feel quite convinced that he, and in fact, I'm going to predict it. Mark is going to come out smelling like a rose here.
Is this the stepped in you-know-what and came out wearing a tan suit situation? That kind of, that old adage?
You feel good
about Mark's future.
You heard what McAfee said about him. I feel like Pat gets what he wants.
Well, isn't Pat's whole thing that basically they pay him an enormous lump sum of money and he literally gets to disperse it as he sees fit to his people?
Yes.
Like, he essentially functions as their boss?
He still runs his own show.
Right. They just pay him a gob of money. And then you still answer to Pat if you're on the show.
Almost like a syndication fee or something like that.
Sure.
Yep.
So
if Pat's like, we've already talked to Mark Cabali about coming here and working for
us. Yeah, you know what? The whole coy thing about, like, I can neither confirm nor deny, like, the nature of these conversations. Mark's general tone made me feel like Mark has some optimism.
He has a very powerful ally in McAfee who wants to...
Mark sounded optimistic and Mark never sounds optimistic.
So... anyways, this is Schefter today on McAfee with the latest on Aiyuk.
This saga has had more twists and turns over the last few months than any story that I've seen in a long time. This has been at a point where at one point it looked like, okay, he might get traded to Cleveland. And then it looked like, oh boy, he might get traded to New England. And then it looked like he might get traded to Pittsburgh. And now it looks like, you know what? The 49ers sit down, the two sides talk it out. And now it looks like the focus and emphasis is on keeping him in San Francisco and not trading him. This has had many twists and turns to it. And until there's final resolution, you don't know. The 49ers want to keep him. They don't want to trade him. They've never wanted to trade him. They've wanted to get a deal worked out with him. The deal has been elusive. The player was the one who requested the trade. The player was the one who tweeted at Mike Tomlin. The 49ers were not interested in doing those sorts of things. They were interested in getting a deal done because they wanted to keep the player.
He keeps saying they there. Like the 49ers all along have wanted Aiyuk. That's kind of like me saying, you know, there's a great expensive sports car in this parking lot right outside the window here, but I want it, but I don't have the money to buy it. They have claimed really all along that there's a maximum that they can go to keep him because they have other players who they have deemed more important than Aiyuk. And the one thing that kept what I said from happening, that Aiyuk was on his way to Pittsburgh, I think something or someone, I can't get into details here yet, but I think someone with enough power and sway got involved after football people made a decision on a trade and said, we can't do this yet. And that's why all of a sudden now there is this rekindling of the 49ers' interest in Aiyuk when they let him go out there and try to find trades.
And then he rebuffed multiple trades that we seemingly understand were on the table from other teams that he didn't want to play for.
Yeah, and I feel like Aiyuk's people choreographed and made it pretty obvious that they thought a trade was happening to Pittsburgh, because look at it from this perspective. If you were Aiyuk's agent and you thought that San Francisco was just going to play hardball with you and force you to come back and play for only $14 million. Why would you say no to Cleveland or New England? I understand that that was not in his head. He wanted to originally play for Washington, mm-hmm. or he wanted to play for the Steelers. But
if you knew this was the end game, you'd have taken the very large bird in the hand.
Well, you just would say to your client, look, man, I know that this is not strict your number one preference, but
it's a strict numbers
$128 game. $million is a lot more than 14, and I just can't.
Which, how much of that's going to be guaranteed probably in any kind of deal, at least like 70 or 80?
Yeah, I can't have you go back and play somewhere. It's not basketball or another sport where like the injury rate is way lower than it is in a super physical, violent contact sport.
You have a chance to guarantee yourself 5 to 6 times as much money the second you put pen to paper. Why would you go back and do that? So to be very clear here, you're saying people above football people, and you think your understanding is that, though, this is on the San Francisco side of business.
Well, why
here.
Would it be on the Steelers
right.
side?
No, I know.
Why would Art Rooney get involved at the end and say, wait a minute, we can't do this? What would be his, like, what would Art want to block?
No, I'm
you know what I'm saying?
Just, I want to make sure it's very clear what you're saying here. I think it was, but I want to double confirm.
I mean, that's how I see it. That's how I interpret. That's just also based on things that I've heard in the last few days. So there's that now. Now Schefter's saying they're going to try to bring him back after they played hardball with him and said $26 million is the best we can do, when your peers and other people with similar production and stats as you are making way more than that per year.
I think 26
Jaylen
is
Waddle,
closer to what he's Amon actually
Ross
worth.
St. Brown. Yeah.
But I still think that this is all much ado about Brandon Ayuk, but I think 26 is actually heading in the right direction as it's going down for what I think he would be worth.
So that's Schefter.
Okay.
Now here's Rappaport.
Now it seems the Pittsburgh Steelers are the most likely destination. They made a strong trade offer, and they have made a strong contract offer to Brandon Ayuk. But I only say most likely destination if he goes anywhere. 49ers have taken maybe a little bit of a different approach than they had over the previous several weeks. They met with Brandon Ayuk. They re-engaged on contract talks to try to bring him back and essentially keep him home. What remains unclear is which direction it is going to go. The Steelers are still in the mix. The 49ers are still in the mix. It is undecided right now who Brandon Ayuk is going to play for. The reality is this has seeped out in news and rumors or whatever to all sorts of other players.
As far as people that are covering this nationally, that's the first time I've heard anyone describe the Steelers' trade offer as strong. Hasn't all the other reporting on this been the Steelers' offer sucks, but the Steelers, and well, not the Steelers, but Ayuk has the leverage, and yes, he's going to force San Francisco to take this deal? That's why I'm saying that I think someone at the top in San Francisco got involved here and put the kibosh on things. If there was a strong offer, both contract and trade, then what's left to talk about? You know, we can't afford Ayuk. We allowed him.
Well, yeah, if the offer was really good, the Niners would say, fine, you did it. Other than maybe that whole idea of a third team being in there where the Niners, if they were only getting picks, would want to go and look for a wide receiver they could trade with somebody else to get.
Here's just, and no one has told me this, this is just me giving my own opinion on it. Tell me if you agree with this. Do you think if the Steelers had drafted, instead of Troy Fautanu, if the Steelers had drafted Brian Thomas from LSU in the first round,
okay,
do you think they'd still be trying to make this trade?
No.
Either do I. The 49ers used their first round pick on a wide receiver, and they re-signed Jennings, and they already have Samuel.
And they just brought in Robbie Chosen Anderson.
So this whole idea where they absolutely need another wide receiver, I just don't think the people that run their football organization feel that way, unless they're being told by someone above them now that they need to go out and do that. I don't think the actual people that make their football decisions there would think, we're actually short at wide receiver. Well, then why the frig did you draft one in the first round? And why did you re-sign a guy who's like, as far as wide...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Receiver threes go or whatever is considered to be one of the better ones in the NFL.
The other funny subplot of this, by the way, still is that he and Lynch share an agent.
Yes.
Through all this. That's the other wild subplot, is that player and general manager are repped by the same person.
Which is why I've also felt like him returning there and playing for only $14 million was a non-starter. Because if that happened...
The agent wouldn't allow that, yeah.
Because the agent is either going to have... I mean, in that situation, the agent's going to have a very pissed off player client.
And if the agent had negotiated a deal somehow that would pay him more than the Niners wanted to, he'd have a pissed off general manager
client. General manager,
client.
Yep.
So it was going to be for... Man, agents are built different. I would not want to be in that particular scenario.
No, I think you would. I think the money
you're making that much money?
Yes.
Hello, John. This is your agent. Hello, Brandon. This is your agent.
How about this as a little sidebar to this? Sports Illustrated reporting. Steelers have interest in Juju Smith-Schuster reunion. Is your mic on? We can't hear you right now.
Steelers have interest in... No, it's like one of those, you know you broke up with a girl or vice versa. You know, she knows she broke up with a guy for a reason. And then enough time passes, and then you say, maybe we should give it another try. No. That voice in your head telling you this is not worth it, this is a bad idea, smart voice.
Sports
Listen
Illustrated,
to that voice.
Source, Juju Smith-Schuster in play for Steelers. According to league sources, you got to love those
is
guys.
Is this a Noah Strackbine story?
In this story, Steelers. Why can't I find the author? Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
Noah Strackbine. We saw him here.
Yeah,
he got a big tour of the building by Craig.
He's their local Steelers guy. At SI.
According to league sources, Juju Smith-Schuster in play for Pittsburgh.
He's, my late grandmother would have said if she was this into sports and slang, he's washed.
Now, in play is not imminent. There is no current deal in place, and it is unknown how close the two sides are in any possible negotiations.
I don't mean to go after Noah here, because I'm not a newsbreaker. I'm not a big sourced up reporter. In play? But nothing's imminent. No one's really necessarily serious, but he's in play.
Well, then in play.
Isn't there an entire host of receivers who are then in play? Yeah, if they went and started talking to a particular guy, he might be in play. I don't know. I hope that's not a thing to get people like me worked up.
Do you think they have a big board and it's like in the terminology or the nomenclature of what Omar Khan is trying to do, he has a... Like in the hunt for the playoffs, all the teams that are 6-8 with 3 games left, is in play like a list of borderline wide receivers where it's like, if we really are in a bind,
last call at the
here's
bar.
7 or 8 guys that we're into, and Juju's on there. And
why add another one of
Traylon
those?
Burks from Tennessee.
God, I would take Traylon Burks in a heartbeat.
Noah Brown from Houston, and these kind of guys are all on the in play side of things.
I would take a guy like Traylon Burks instantly over Juju. Juju's got
instantly.
Yes, Juju's got very hard miles on those tires, man.
Didn't look that way when he played the Steelers last fall.
His literal only impressive game of the year. Yes. Why are you falling victim to the he looked good against the Steelers trap? Why?
Because those are the games I watch the closest and care the most about.
He sucked in all the other games. What's the more indicative sample size?
Well, yeah, they're way more games. I get it. But
are you playing devil's advocate for me right now?
I saw him with my own eyes look good, so I know it's still in there somewhere.
I don't know if it is.
You're a big proof of concept guy.
You watched him come in here,
and you saw proof of concept that he could still play.
The proof of concept happened one time, so I would say
in there somewhere, Chris.
Okay, so wait a minute. Andrew McCutchen had two home runs yesterday. Does that mean the Pirates should give him a long-term deal again because it was still in there somewhere?
No, but it means they should give him a contract for next year. How many one times did Van Jefferson have last year? Where you look at his body work and you say, you know what? On this given Sunday, Van Jefferson did indeed look like a wide receiver too. Did he have any of those? What was his season high in receiving yards, Malzi? Do you have it handy?
It was a really impressive 46. He had one catch for 46 yards in a game. I mean, did Juju average 46 yards a catch for a game?
One catch for 46.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
Juju's not good.
We just did the thing that I hear Crowley and Doran do all the time.
What's that?
They go, mm-hmm.
Does one of them do it more than the other?
Crowley does it a lot. And I think Doran does it back. And I think it's, should I say cute? Is that what I'm looking for here? Do you know what I'm talking about here, Dom? Like, there's a bromance thing there where it's their way of agreeing with each other's point.
Well, I never agree with your points. So
we don't have to worry about that. But there's like one guy goes, mm-hmm. And then the other person goes back, usually a much deeper Doran goes, mm-hmm.
You should differentiate more, like Crowley's are, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's usually their way of like segueing into the next.
Sure. I'm not going to comment.
Good here? Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Crowley goes, or Doran goes, so yeah, I think bottom line is the Pirates are in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I picture back in like the Second Continental Congress.
Oh, yes, saying, as we here, often here. I think about the Second Continental Congress
goes,
routinely.
Here, here. And then the next guy's like, yes, that's right. Here, here. Like, we do agree with this
What's
principle,
the Mel Brooks
this
movie?
Article.
The harumphs, you know, harumph, harumph, harumph.
Yeah.
The Second Continental Congress.
Maybe I'm the only person who hears it, but there's a Crowley will go, mm-hmm. And then Doran's like, I agree. Mm-hmm. Doran's is like has that it's oozing with masculinity.
What's Crowley's oozing with?
Estrogen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man, you're killing Crowley here.
I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring this up in a negative way, and you're the one that started making him sound like Miss Piggy over
well,
there.
Well, it's because
like, hey, Doran. Let's be honest, though. Miss Piggy and Kermit were never a good mix.
Oh, no. Their friends had to be telling each of them that they were terrible for the other.
I mean, that was always a strange.
Did you ever actually have your friends? Were you ever dating a girl where your friends actually had the gumption to say to you, like, we think she's terrible for you?
Yes. You didn't have that?
No.
Did you?
No.
I had.
Have you ever been on the other end of it where you're telling your friends this is a terrible idea?
Yes. And I am right 100% of the time.
Not surprising to hear you say that.
I did have this, though, like the Long Island girlfriend when that ended. I had one like female friend of mine go, yeah, I always thought that was unusual that you two got together. And I'm like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? Like, she said it in a way where
like
it was,
that you outkicked your coverage.
No, that it was like she was slumming it with me.
Oh,
but also that like she was such a volatile personality. They did not think I would want to date a girl like that, which is why we weren't together at that point.
Bottom line is, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
A lot of Steelers fans on social media are begging Omar Khan to just move on to the CeeDee Lamb situation in Dallas and see if he can pry Lamb away from the Cowboys based on some of these comments by Jerry Jones. and the fact that Lamb, unlike Ayuk, isn't even at Cowboys training camp. He's mm-hmm. completely stayed away. There's been no one has talked about even teams making offers for Lamb.
It's been totally different.
Even though it's super ugly and has gotten awkward there for sure.
He's going to show up and play for them.
It's just going to work itself out eventually.
I feel good saying this. He's a considerably better player than Ayuk. He's an actual top five wide receiver, not one that people are inexplicably discussing as one. He is that dude. Everyone said, if Ayuk came here, well, he'd be the number one, and Pickens would get slotted over to number two. And in my brain, Pickens would still be their most dangerous target. If CeeDee Lamb were to come to Pittsburgh, he instantly becomes their most dangerous receiver and their clear number one. I think he's up there with the Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek Hill. Name your fifth guy, but CeeDee Lamb's one of your best five in the league.
I would agree with that. I think that's probably right. That he's not, I think he's great. I don't look at him as a future Hall of Fame wide receiver, though.
I don't think of him as
Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams or Jefferson.
He's a high-volume guy who isn't just a possession guy. 135 catches for almost 1,800 yards.
He led the league in catches last year.
His last two seasons, these are the averages of the two seasons. 121 catches, 1,554 yards, 10 touchdowns. That's big boy production right there. Big boy production. In an offense that has no reputation for being as player friendly as does the Shanahan offense up there, where they're schemed open all the time.
It sounds to me like Dak Prescott's not going to sign a contract there. And is going to play out the year and then go into free agency because they're not allowed to tag him. And depending on how this season goes with McCarthy, he's a total lame duck. There's a chance to just completely start fresh with a new coach and a new quarterback there. And in a backwards way, this isn't the way you're supposed to do it, but would Jones just lock up Lamb so at least he has that receiver there for whoever his next quarterback is? To work with, to at least know that, hey, you have someone that is going to make your job easier right off the bat.
Presumably Lamb wouldn't care if it was a rookie because he'd have gotten paid.
Yeah, this was not the plan when they traded for DJ Moore. Well, it was, I guess, but it wasn't for Caleb Williams. But look at the situation Caleb Williams walks into where he's got Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze. It's interesting to me that your point all throughout this has been, we're spending a lot of energy on a wide receiver that's not great. Here is a wide receiver who is,
and nothing
plays for the most glamour franchise in the league.
They crave attention at all times, good, bad, or ugly.
Right. So so we're not even inventing or making up ways for him to get out of there. It just makes me feel like the people that know the Cowboys and cover that team just think there's no way he could get traded to a team like the Steelers. Or traded to any team, period.
I think if anybody on this year's Cowboys is seen as possibly playing for the Steelers next year, it's Dak. Fields and Wilson don't work out. Dak walks. Steelers say, we love you, Dak. Here's a contract. You're our next quarterback. Go from America's team to the world's team.
Just complete, bar stool question. Sitting around, it's happy hour, you got a couple of beers in your system.
People might be doing this right now.
Maybe you have some complimentary pretzels or peanuts there, which is always nice. Yeah. Not as many places do that now.
Popcorn in the little thing, unlimited popcorn, great beer snack. Continue.
Who does that? Find me that place. They'll have my business.
I feel like the old Harris Grill used to do it.
What kind of season would Dak Prescott need to have for Dallas where you would want him to be the Steelers quarterback next year?
Very weird needle to thread.
Not what do you think it would take for him to get here? None of that. What would make Chris Mueller actually say, you know what?
They lose in the division round and he has a season that looks like last year's.
So he shows he can win a playoff game.
Yeah, and he has 30. He leads the league in touchdowns.
But he's shown
nice
he can
start.
Win a playoff game before. It's just... They can't get to an NFC championship game. In the postseason, they can't get really close.
Do you think a lot of that's on him? Do you think a lot of that's on him or no?
Well, I think last playoff game against Green Bay was for sure. I mean, he was just that
he was putrid.
Awful.
I think they've had the misfortune of like the year before they ran into
San Fran. But still, though, you're a 12-win team and you've got a star quarterback and you're playing a team at that point that is still playing Mr. Irrelevant as a rookie at quarterback. You should go there and
they had more of a fight than you did. Yeah, I know. I've always felt like he was a little bit overrated. But I think he is good enough that you can convince yourself as a fan that he's good enough to take you to the promised land. Like, for me, he is somebody who is overrated right now, but it takes one run to a Super Bowl.
But he's going
to
be uber expensive, Chris. Know. That's the other thing.
$60 million man, right?
I don't want to make the same mistake that Atlanta did where it's like, let's pay a lot of money to get a quarterback
makes
us above average and nothing more.
Okay, so let's say more barroom conversation here. You don't like what Wilson does. Fields gets his chance too. He just crashes and burns, okay? You need a new quarterback. So Dak's one option if he wants to truly test the market and whatever. You're willing to back up a truck for him. Guess what your 2025 quarterback class right now looks like? Carson Beck, the current number one guy. Shedeur Sanders. Oh, wait a minute. Deion doesn't want him going anywhere that's cold. That's already one of his prerogatives, he said.
I thought we had an unseasonably warm winter last year.
Do you want Deion's kid quarterbacking?
I'm not completely opposed to it, but that's not my first preference.
Neither is it mine.
Okay.
You don't have this past year's draft class. Well, Yeah, but there have been years where you knew there were going to be a handful. This year, it's one of those, can somebody separate? And then do you run the risk of it being Kenny Pickett's draft class all over again? Do you want to be reaching for a quarterback in what's seen as a weaker year for it?
No, when you phrase it that way, of course you don't want to be that team.
It's weird limbo right now for teams that aren't settled at the position through next year. It's very weird limbo.
Josh texts in and asks if we see enough from Van Jefferson.
Can't do it?
The catch that should have been ruled a catch that was thrown behind him that Tomlin didn't challenge, and these reports from Latrobe are not getting me to the point where, what was his season high last year again? One catch for 46 yards?
I mean, very impactful stuff, though.
Bucko Minute with Noah Hyles next. We started with the Pirates today because their futility is just knows no bounds lately. They've lost 7 in a row. Their closer can't get 3 outs to win a game. They went from trade deadline buyer to last place in less than 2 weeks. And we'll do the Bucko Minute. Noah live from San Diego, where an unusual pitching decision has been made for tonight's game, trying to snap a 7-game losing streak with Joe Musgrove on the mound for the Padres. More insight into that coming up next. Music means it's time for a Bucko Minute. The Pirates have not been ready to play lately. They've lost 7 in a row. They are now in the back of the wild card pack. It's like in cornhole when you go over and you have to go all the way back to 13 or whatever the number is.
Yep.
That's what the Pirates have done. They're behind everybody. Behind the Reds, behind the Cubs, Giants, Mets,
this keeps
Braves.
Up. Nationals are going to jump them.
You name them.
It's been bad, Pony. It's been real bad. It's mostly your fault.
Lineup is out for tonight. McCutchen, Reynolds, Cruz, Bart Catching, Tellez, IKF at second, Hayes, De La Cruz, and then Taylor.
Already behind
Brian
Hayes in
De
the
La
lineup.
Cruz, who had the second most home runs among National League outfielders, is in your lineup, and he is hitting behind a guy who has averaged this season one extra base hit a month since May.
It's not good. It's not good.
Noah Hyles with us, Bucks insider, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I mean, Noah, the optics of hitting De La Cruz 8, like, It's not a lefty-righty thing. He's a right-handed hitter just like Hayes, and they think Hayes is a better hitter right now?
He is a better hitter right now. Look at what De La Cruz has done offensively since arriving in Pittsburgh. I get it's a small sample size, but, I mean, this is equivalent to Rowdy Tellez in May. It's that bad right now. The guy's – he's if you blink, he's down in the count 0-2. I'm surprised he's not batting ninth. He deserves to be that low in the lineup right now.
Then early grade on this trade is like an F-, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, this is a trade that you're going to have to wait a little bit to truly grade, because this is a guy who's got multiple years of team control. They made this move with the idea that this would be a piece to their team for the next 2-3 seasons. And sure, it's been very bad for the first 10-11 days he's been here, but this is just a very, very small chunk of what I think will be his time here in Pittsburgh. So I'm not going to grade anything right now.
Oh, okay.
But I will say, for what, you know, if you're grading it for a 2024 grade, yeah, it's a bad grade, because, I mean, they hope that he could be the power bat in the middle of the order, and he hasn't been.
Jake Woodford is starting tonight for the Pirates. Why isn't it Marco Gonzalez? Not that he's exactly Sandy Koufax, but what's causing this guy that's been a long man slash spot starter? You've lost 7 in a row. Why are you going to someone who's out of your normal rotation to try to stop the bleeding tonight, Noah?
That's a good question, and one that I plan on asking Derek Shelton in a few hours when we get a chance to talk with him. You have to wonder if everything's all right with Marco Gonzalez. I mean, the arm has been spotty this season, the last couple of seasons. He missed, obviously, a lot of time this year, and they've kind of skipped him in the rotation already since he's been back. So if this is just how they're going to use him, where he's going to pitch once every 10 days, then that's just how it's going to be. But I was surprised to see Woodford getting the nod ahead of Marco Gonzalez, and we'll look into that more once we get to the ballpark.
Noah, how close is David Bednar to losing the ninth inning job?
I don't know, because at this point in the year, you're probably looking to find out what's best for the team in 2025. And I think David Bednar is probably your closer in 2025. At least that's what they need to find out. I mean, you could pitch Chapman in the ninth, but, I mean, this Chapman's not going to be around next year, I would think. And, you know, obviously you want to try to win as many games as possible, but you're probably not making the playoffs anymore. That's not a realistic expectation for this team. So I think it's more beneficial to get David Bednar more action in the ninth, Colin Holderman in the ninth, because you got to get these guys to battle out of this. That's the priority here last 7 weeks.
Then can I ask you along those lines, if you think that might be their philosophy or could be, then guys like Tellez and Taylor should start playing a lot less, no?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, and that's, again, like you another guy we talked about, Marco Gonzalez. All these guys on one-year deals, you have to ask yourself, I mean, what benefit do you get from playing these players who aren't going to be around here much longer? Now, Tellez is an interesting case because I don't think it's out of the question for him to be re-signed. I think he's going to be in the Pirates' price range, and I don't know if they can go get a better first baseman based off of what they're probably going to be willing to pay for that position in the offseason.
I mean, shouldn't they be willing to pay a lot more? I mean,
they should, and I'll leave it at that. But looking around the diamond, I mean, there are a lot of other guys that are younger, and you need to figure out what they are to your team heading into 2025. Maybe Henry Davis gets more opportunities.
Is Nick York coming up to this team anytime
soon?
Yeah,
where's Billy Cook?
Where's Billy Cook and Nick York?
Those are two guys that I'm also curious about. I mean, both of them have had very limited time in AAA, but, I mean, they're both killing the baseball right now, and they're going to be important pieces to 2025. And I think that maybe these last couple of weeks of this season serve as one final, hey, show me something to a guy like Jared Triolo, to a guy like Alika Williams, because you have other players who were just recently acquired who fill a similar role and who will be competing with them for spots on the big league club next year. But yeah, York, Cook, pitchers like Braxton Ashcraft, once he's healthy, Michael Burrows, these are guys that probably should be seeing more opportunities than guys on a one-year deal right now.
Noah, if you were to bet on 2025, Is Andrew McCutchen on the opening day roster?
Yes, I think so. I don't think that's a slam dunk, but just because, I mean, the guy's body is it's beat up. I mean, this game is taking a toll on him. But if he wants to play, it's probably going to be here in Pittsburgh on another one-year deal. So, and I think he does want to play. I think he wants to keep going. And that means, yeah, he'll probably be back here next year.
Noah, Smart Money says Joey Bart is the Pirates' starting blank in 2025.
Catcher, yeah. Just because Davis has to prove that he can hit the baseball before we even figure out a position.
What about Endy?
Endy's a guy where, yeah, I mean, he's a promising prospect, but he's coming off of a major surgery, and he's missing out on a year of baseball, and mm-hmm. he did not play a ton of baseball at the major league level last year. Joey Bart's your most proven major league catcher on the roster right now, and that's why, and he's playing well. That's why he should be the starter. But you have Endy, a guy who could probably be on that 40 or on that major league roster on opening day next year, and you can maybe even carry three catchers because of the defensive versatility that Endy brings. You could play him at first. He's played second base before. But yeah, Joey Bart's got to be your opening day catcher heading into Bradenton, unless someone outplays him and takes the job.
No, if the Pirates finish in last place, how do they rationalize saying, actually, things are fine, we trust and we believe in our general manager and our manager for 2025?
I don't know if you can rationalize that. That's a regression. And I've never been someone who said, you know, oh, if they miss the playoff, like it's playoffs or bust this year. But you have to show improvement. And this team entering August was in a position to compete for the postseason, and it has completely fallen apart in every area that has been dependable. The starting pitching's been worse. The bullpen's been atrocious. The lineup's been inconsistent. Although it is hitting the ball a little bit more than usual, it's still not really dependable. So it's been a regression. If they finish in last place, I don't think they can make the claim of what you just asked me if they could. So I think changes will have to be made.
Do you think one is safer than the other?
What do you mean?
Of Shelton and Charrington, is one guy's job security
like
better than the other?
If that were to happen, do you think they both would get shown the door?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what would happen there, and I don't want to presume, you know, anyone losing their job. But I do think out of those two, there is one that's probably more likely to go than the other.
Noah, is to what? You're a reporter, you know, it's just the facts, but I'm going to ask you for a little opinion. What percentage, given this slide that they're on, what percentage of blame should go to Pony for his Paul Skeens eye contact tweet?
Ooh, probably 90. You know, Bednar and Holderman probably get like 9 of that, 9%, and then 1% is on Shelton, then I'll put the other 90 on Pony.
Very good.
And you think from that moment when we locked eyes multiple times, that it was
the team hasn't won since.
What exactly though? Like what happened? Like shout like this.
Your stink got rubbed off on the team.
My bad energy was transferred to
like
Paul.
In a sci-fi movie.
No, it was kind of like the opposite of what happened in the movie Space Jam, where the talent got taken away.
Yeah, you're
right. It was the Pony shot into all of them. Like it took over their bodies.
The Pony is strong.
Have you asked or have you thought about bringing this up to Shelton? In one of these,
probably want to wait till they win a game, Noah. Before you do that,
those probably aren't the best questions to ask a guy who's managing a team that's lost 7 straight games.
Okay,
how has he been? I'm wondering this because this actually is a serious question. Off of that, he has been testier than I've ever seen him of late. Has it been? Have you been able to tell? Like this has really been wearing on him. It's a guy who had never managed meaningful games, like truly meaningful ones, till maybe a month ago. And now all of this has happened. Like, how has he actually handled that in the moments where a camera's not in front of his face?
Yeah, it's wearing on him. I mean, I will say, I mean, baseball players, they're conditioned to take things one day at a time, and they shake things off well. But you can tell. And I mean, I've even asked questions like, how do you not let this wear on you? And he said it's tough, but you know, they've got to just, as cliche as it sounds, they have to show up every day and look to. You know, have a blank slate and get after it. But it is wearing on him. And like you pointed out, I mean, there have been some post-game press conferences where he's even said in an answer, I'm upset with how this all went down. He was pissed about one of the losses, and it's been probably about a lot of them. He's noticeably, a little beaten down by this. And that makes sense. I mean, like you guys pointed out, this is the first time he's really had a chance to manage meaningful baseball at this point in the year. and it really has not gone well at all.
How many games did the Pirates win in San Diego?
One.
Do they get to 500 again this season?
That's a good question. I think they do.
Wow.
Yes, I think, but because based off of just the entire vibe of this team, the general synopsis seems to be get excited, get incredibly disappointed, fight all the way back to where it's exciting, and then just finish just short enough for, you know, completing the job. That's how a lot of these losses have gone this year. I think that would be an appropriate finish if we got to September and they needed to, like, win out and need a team to lose out, and it just didn't happen. But I think they'll finish around 500. I think that's going to be, you know, the goal, really, for the rest of the year is can they play above 500 baseball for these last 7 weeks.
Noah Hyles in San Diego, where the Pirates have the longest losing streak in baseball and are on the verge of completely falling out of any playoff race. Noah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There you go. I got distracted at the very end of that interview because apparently Colony had another hole-in-one this weekend. And we wrote about it at our website, number two, and lost the ball from it.
How did... Come on.
Yeah. More on that coming up in the Hodgepodge. 50-minute mark on the Fans, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. It is time for the Hodgepodge.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
We try to get in as many topics, opinions as we can between now and the start of Donnie's show. He is live on location at Dino's in Latrobe. Wings galore. Malzia sampled them. Was a big fan.
Sweet and hot. Very big fan.
Do they sell them in like normal quantities, or are they one of these weird places that sells them in pounds?
No, numerical quantities.
What is up with the pound being used?
It just makes it seem like you're eating king crab legs and not just chicken wings. No, the poundage thing makes no sense to me.
Do they do it like 6, 12?
I think it was either 5, 10 or 6, 12. I think it was 6, 12.
Intern Dom is here for Donnie. Dino's. I have a wing etiquette question for you, Dom. You go somewhere to order wings. You sit down. You say, I want 10 wings. Is it acceptable to say, I want 5 hot, 5 garlic parm? Can you break up the quantity?
To get the lower price.
I wouldn't.
No. To get two different sauces.
Most places
saying,
just
Chris.
Say 5 of one and 5 of the other, but it's you pay for each 5 individually and not get 10.
Gotcha.
And it's always... So how about this? I went and got wings not long ago. Alex and I both prefer flats. Place I was getting them from, I won't name it, for each like whatever amount of wings, for a $2 upcharge, you could get all flats. Fair or foul? So I think I got 5 separate orders of flavors, and so it was an extra $10, but I got all flats. I think that's fair.
I think it's worth it.
I do. I think it's fair.
Do they have the same rule applied to drumsticks,
yeah,
or do they know that most people don't want drums?
I don't even know if that's the case. I think a lot of people like drums.
No.
Flats are clearly superior, though.
Not
I never understood
close.
This.
Dom, you want to join us on that crusade?
I love wings. I'm not picky about what.
But the drums have that big, stupid piece of cartilage in them, no matter what, that you've got to eat around.
Yeah. So do you like specifically ask, I want.
No, that's what I just said. I asked the place for flats. They're like, we'll do all flats for an upcharge. It's like built into their pricing if you do that.
You know what I have?
And then I was like, can I get them well done or is that an upcharge? And the guy started laughing. He goes, no, we'll double fry them for free.
This does not apply to Malzie because he hates pizza.
Yes.
I haven't had a good buffalo chicken pizza in 20 years.
That's sad. I know where you can get one.
There was a place near where I grew up that did a good one.
Maybe you're thinking of you're more attaching the pizza to the memory of a more innocent time.
But I just don't think there's a lot of places here that advertise the buffalo chicken pizza.
I know a couple.
I don't think there are places that feel like that's something they do well and therefore advertise it.
It's a buffalo chicken town. There was a place I knew all my buddies would get.
It's not a specialty here.
There was a place on the north side all my buddies who were from the north side in high school would go to get buffalo chicken pizza. I don't even remember the name or if it's still open, but it was like one of the things they talked about. Like, hey, this is one of our specialties.
I feel like the buffalo chicken pizza here is just an afterthought.
Well, there's a place in Shaler called Frank's that is known
for
their buffalo
okay.
chicken pizza.
So,
okay,
they are
so
still
we have
open.
Found
so
one.
Frank's.
One.
I was funny that you said that, Dom, because that's
one
the same place my buddies went and got.
In the area.
But I thought they were on the north side too, by like Perry Traditional.
They have a couple locations.
Okay. Yeah, they got that chicken on the logo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's space here in a very competitive market, which is the pizza and wings market. There is a place.
We got places that put cold cheese on hot pizza, but we don't have a place that's really pushing the buffalo chicken pizza.
Yeah. Shaler's very far away from where I am.
It is,
you know,
not
how about
close.
How about a South Hills spot that's like,
you're,
hey,
you're
pony,
a man of humongous influence.
We got a buffalo chicken pizza for you, man.
Say it and
it's
it will be so.
That's going to knock your socks off.
Pony lives in Washington County. He lives a, you know, a little bit south of Bridgeville.
A little bit?
I'm not trying to zero people in too much on where you live.
Why? Because you're afraid that they're going to love it.
Oh, with the IUK stuff right now, I think it's better safe than sorry. Yeah, find this man a good buffalo chicken pizza. Not that
this
hard.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
So, yes, Colony made his second hole-in-one, apparently, at Pheasant Ridge, where he basically just now works. He's
congratulations
like,
on all his success.
He's like the guy that does... My one uncle had the old email signature, retired but busier than ever because he was doing all this stuff. Colony reminds me of the same thing. So, he works at Pheasant Ridge. So, our guy Andy Lindberg wrote it up for the web. And Jim, of course, in true Jim fashion, wanted to make sure Lynch Golf Sales got a little pop in there. Told everybody what kind of ball he used. It was a Titleist Pro V1. Congratulations on all your success, Jim. Second career hole-in-one. If the first career hole-in-one's any indication, Joey Porter Sr. should be looking to beat my ass anytime now because when Jim got his first one,
right,
Porter was in my face. But two things about this, very funny. Jim lost the ball. Very funny. And then here's if I were Jim, and because I've seen Jim play, and I don't think Jim is doing himself any favors with this because I think he can hit this particular club a lot further. In the story, it says the hole-in-one was about 150 yards away and he was using driver. I know Jim hits his driver a lot further than that. Maybe if Jim's hitting a hybrid 150,
I think they're going to have to retract that story because I don't believe that that's true, that he was using a driver.
It's hard to hit a driver, even if you don't hit it as far as you used to, in such a way as that I would think it would be a 150-yard hole-in-one.
I'm guessing the hole is actually longer than 150.
Like 175,
yards.
180, and that's his. He feels comfortable carrying the shot that far. Okay, but 150 makes it sound like Jim can barely swing the club. I've watched the man play. He can still hit the ball 200-plus yards. Very odd.
I got news for you.
Apparently there's video. How do we not have the video? There's video reference in the story.
We have a whole entire Twitter account that's all about our golfing exploits. How does going low not have that for content purpose? I agree.
I looked at Jim's Twitter feed to see if like there was anything.
He hasn't posted anything in what, 6 months?
No. The most recent tweet, really, other than an Olympics retweet, is the Shendrovich twins.
Playing golf with him?
At Pheasant Ridge, yeah.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Pirates are going to win tonight. And Jake Woodford's going to go 5 1/3. One hit, two walks, one run.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was busy betting every dime I had left in my account on the Padres.
Dom, are you with me?
No.
Okay. By the way, Dom's attempt to... Dom thought he could break dance better than the Australian woman who got 0 points.
No, stop it. I never said that.
We posted the video of it, and he did not come close.
Malzi, I never once said that, just for the record.
I don't really believe you. I think you said it.
See what you start, Pony?
You start all these things on your own. I'm the best beer pong person at the fan. I can eat 9 hot dogs and do better than Harry Callis. You're the boy who cried wolf on this. Now you're saying that you did not make an outrageous claim? You are the king here of outrageous claims.
See what he does? See what he does, Malzi? See what he does? See how he sets me up like that? Now I'm the bad guy.
What's going on with Harry Callis on Twitter? Do we have the Leland smoking thing?
The school buckos.
We do. We need to get out, though, for Donnie to go on time, so make it quick.
Callis has been talking trash all day.
On who?
Like just randomly quote tweeting stuff involving us, making fun of you with your tweet about the Pirates and Skeens. Anyone else remember when Chris Muller made an ace too? Callis is being, I guarantee you I know this, Callis is being told by Crowley to incite us and to go after us. I don't think Doran would do that. I think Crowley absolutely would.
Tell Callis to take another bathroom break.
Coming up next, it is... Donnie Football, live from Dino's. That'll be a hell of a time. We'll be All back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Team signing off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.